This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 132 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stufko.
What's up, everybody? What's up, TK 132? Who we got?
Mike Dolce, man. He's in the house.
Yeah, the Dolce diet.
I can't wait, man. We've been trying to get him on for a long time. Busy man, dude.
For sure. Back and forth, you know, and it's going to be awesome to sit down with this dude. You know, we're both huge MMA fans, and he's synonymous with helping fighters being at their most full potential.
Yeah, 100% record of making people make weight. So, an interesting one. I think we're going to get a great perspective of where he's from and where he's come to. So, it's going to be a knowledge bomb after knowledge bomb. I can't wait.
Yeah, you guys are going to in something special. He drops bombs. He really shares insights on his path, what led him to where he is, and the future goals of his, and also some awesome little insights to his business and how to take your stuff to the next level.
Oh, for sure, man. But to guys, just a big thank you to everyone listening to the show. Really appreciate all the 5-star reviews we've been leaving on iTunes. So if you haven't yet, if you could just jump on quickly, leave us a 5-star review. Just helps us grow. Helps us just get be found more, a lot more people.
Yeah, guys. Also, if you're Android SoundCloud, man, just Vision Board Podcast, hit subscribe, share it on your Facebook. We love the support. We'll keep bringing it. We're just getting started.
Hell yeah. So, guys, before we bring on Mike, Johnny, what do we have to do? Nothing.
All good, baby. Let's just bring the pain like we always do. Yeah. Dolce's waiting, big dog.
Let's just get straight into Mike.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it.
Yes, sir.
All right, our special guest is Mike Dolce. Mike is a nutrition expert and also regarded as one of the world's top weight management coaches for professional fighters. He's worked with the likes of Johnny Hendricks, Rampage Jackson, Ronda Rousey, Thiago Alves, and Carlos Condit. He has over 20 years' experience working in strength and conditioning and nutrition, and was also a professional fighter, appearing in Season 7 of The Ultimate Fighter. He's, like I said, regarded as one of the best in the world, and recently again named World MMA Trainer of the Year, which he has done consecutively since 2013. We welcome Mike Dolce. Mike, welcome to the show, my man.
I'm going to record that and just play that anytime I walk anywhere. It's going to blast from my car at red lights. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, Mike, man, you're a gentleman that we've wanted to have on the show for a while. We appreciate you stopping by the Vision Board. To get this thing started, you're always on the go. You have a lot of stuff going on. Could you share with our fans some insights on what maybe a current project you're working on, or, you know, something that's in the near future for Mike Dolce?
Well, we have a few exciting projects, the first of which we launched an online membership program allowing the regular public to have the same access to the scientific protocols we use with our elite athletes. We have that packaged online system. You sign up, you put in your relevant data, age, weight, you know, goals and lifestyle, things like that. And a program is created personalized. Every ingredient, every recipe, every grocery list, all there for you, exercise programs, pretty awesome. So we launched that. That's crushing it right now, Wide Reach. The next thing is Dolce Fitness. It made sense because we're so busy on the nutrition and the lifestyle, and we do programming and periodization systems for our athletes to open up a facility where we now work one-on-one physically on the strength and conditioning rehabilitation side with the general public, our athletes, our high net worth celebrities and such. But also we opened up a general consumer model for the community to come in. And what's cool, it's we're exclusive and we only allow people in that are cool. People that are here to work.
Yeah.
Morbidly obese, thyroid cancer, and, you know, PGA Tour multi-deca millionaire training side by side with the same intensity. That's what we love about this. And also, we are working on a new book project that I'm very excited about. I'm not going to – can't tell you guys just yet, but hopefully you'll have me come back on to talk about it. It's been a while since we – 2014 is when we re-released 3 Weeks of Shredded, the updated version. And I didn't feel it was necessary to put anything new on the market because Living Lean, the Living Lean cookbooks, and 3 Weeks of Shredded pretty much covered what our message and principles were at that point. Now we have new data, new science, new experiences that can really take nutrition from a longevity perspective, because we're a longevity company, so focused on longevity while dramatically improving body composition and athletic performance. I mean, in record times, doing everything naturally, following our principles of eating real food and such. So those are what we have going on. I thank you for the opportunity to mention.
Excellent. And Mike, do you have any options for like coaches? Trish and I are both coaches. If somebody listening would want to be like upskilled or developed by you and your systems, is that an option as well?
Absolutely. We have what we call the Dolce Diet Certified Program. We have level 1 nutrition counselor, level 2 fitness trainer, and a level 3 is a master trainer. The level 3 is essentially doing what I do, hopefully better than what I do, imparting all of our knowledge and experience to another coach to work with any one of our elite athletes and clients, keeping the brand integrity that we built over the last 20 years. So we have every other month now here in Las Vegas at Dolce Fitness, we have a coach's certification class, and we really cap it around 20 to 25 people. We like that more intimate audience where we can work one-on-one with coaches, really develop them, not just from an education standpoint. And we are NSCA, NASM, and AFA certified as a continuing education provider for those massive agencies to show the quality of our curriculum. We treat nutrition and dietetics in the level 1 because that's the foundation of all fitness. If you're a great strength coach or personal trainer or what have you, if you don't have a powerful grasp of nutrition, you're doing 30% of the business that you should and producing 30% of the results that you actually should with your clients. So we empower the coaches through that type of education. And then we also focus on branding, on marketing, on sales strategies, on incorporation or LLC. How to truly set yourself up as a successful business, able to monetize and transact with the community that you so desperately want to help. We are a service-oriented oriented company, and we want to provide this service or these products to help change people's lives. But to do that, we have to monetize also, because I have a support staff, I have logistics, I have, you know, creative expenses to produce this information. So we have to make sure it works. And that's what we teach to our coaches, and some of which are crushing it, crushing it in their businesses. And we just sit back. So it's not an MLM scheme with us. It's like you come in, you learn from us, and then we support you. We allow opportunities through the brand association of marketing or of monetization, let's say, and the coach is just taking a run with it.
Yeah. Mike, I'm following you for a long time now, man. What I really love about your stuff is it's simple, you deliver results, and you over-deliver for your clients. Can you just take our audience through those four key principles that you really base your nutrition stuff around, man?
So the basic principles of the Dolce Diet Nutrition System is, number one is we eat real food, what we call, and we coined the term, earth-grown nutrients. We only eat food as the main source of our nutrition, the only source of our nutrition, food that has come naturally from the planet. And we could say organic and non-GMO and fair trade, and we could use all those commercialized labels. But speaking to the end user, speaking to you guys, the listener, just fucking eat real food. Am I allowed to curse?
Yeah, you can.
We love it.
Fucking eat real food. Shut the fuck up. Eat real food. Stop with your processed shit, your sucralose, and all your fucking chewy protein bites. Shut the fuck up. Eat real food. Grab a goddamn apple and a handful of fucking almonds and shut the fuck up. Get about the business of getting better. So, you know, let me back up and be more professional. Principle number one is we eat earth-grown nutrients. We eat real food. If you only eat real food, the vast, vast, vast majority, 80, 90, 99% of your health issues will immediately disappear or be improved. Your body composition issue will immediately disappear or be dramatically improved. Your cognitive state of being, your wellness, your ability to heal from injuries, for your hair to grow, for your skin, the collagen production, all this will dramatically increase if we're only doing that one damn thing. The next thing is we eat every 2 to 4 hours based upon activity. So what this does, it empowers the user to now understand how to feed myself with real food. It's a very simple system. We eat real food every 2 to 4 hours based upon activity. Am I recovering from that kick-ass marathon I just ran?
Yeah.
Or am I fueling for the next, you know, for the board meeting I got to be focused on with my boss and put on the presentation? So I'm eating in these 2 to 4 hour blocks based upon what I had just done or what I'm about to do. The next system, you know, or step principle falls in line with this one is we eat until we're satisfied, not until we're full. Well, what does that mean? It means we're eating real food every 2 to 4 hours based upon exertion, calories in, 500 calories in. Well, did I just burn 300 or 700 calories, or will I burning 200 or 800 calories in this next bout? So we're staying fueled, and there's more science that falls behind that. But this is so the average person can understand. They don't need to know as much about that level of science until they're actually doing it. We eat real food every 2 to 4 hours based upon exertion. We eat until we're satisfied, not until we're full. What does that mean? It means don't fucking overeat, fat ass. Like, don't crush 2 or 3 meals. You can eat again in 2 fucking hours.
Yeah.
You can't have pasta primavera and fucking garlic bread for lunch when you're sitting your fat ass in a fucking cubicle for the next 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I say that to be brash and to get people's attention. What I should be having is I should have a nice piece of fucking steak or fish or chicken, a baked potato without the fucking butter and without the cream cheese or the cheddar cheese and the bacon bits. Psh, bacon bits? Shut the fuck. Stop being a baby. Again, eat real fucking food. Like me, man, I eat constantly. I crush food. I eat great food.
Mike. Always in shape.
You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. And to see people make all this, and I you know, I go sideways a lot. So
it's all good, man.
Earth-grown nutrients every 2 to 4 hours based upon activity until we're satisfied, not until we're full. And principle number four is we do this every meal, every day, week, month, year. This is just what we do. And then we have other principles that fall in line under those basic four. You follow those basic four, you're in amazing shape. You're going to live a really long, happy, healthy, functional, performing life. Mike, why not do that? Go ahead.
Yeah, on the eat real food topic, when I was younger, growing up in America, they were teaching us, you know, read your labels and pay attention to the nutritional labels. And in hindsight, it's like real food doesn't have labels. And do you think they'll ever, for the general pop, do you think it'll ever get to a point where you could go to a store, you could have the options of buying real food everywhere in a sense of not this, like, you know, synthetic food that people eat? And a lot of people, that's all they eat. It's pretty remarkable, you know, how simple it can be. Do you think it'll ever be an option for everybody for the pop?
Unfortunately, no. I don't think it will be an option. And I think as we progress in time, real food will become much more obsolete or hard to reach.
So it's going the other way. Because
it's going the other way. And those like myself, I mean, how many people are actually screaming for real food? It's hard to do so. The number one principle in my system is to eat real food. Well, I don't get paid from that. I can't patent spinach. I can't sell Dolce potatoes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you get another large corporation, they're saying, no, eat this disgusting fucking fake protein bar that tastes like, you know, apple pie a la mode, and it's got 25 grams of protein. It's healthy for you. I can sell a fuckload of that. When I'm saying, dude, just go eat some fucking chicken. Or wild-caught salmon, or get some chia seeds in your house and put that into electrolyte solution and drink that instead of a fucking Powerade, Gatorade, whatever aid for $4, $6, $8 for a can of sucralose, aspartame, acesulfame, potassium, laden fucking crap. You know, so – and this is – it's all about money. Again, we look in the world of politics, same thing. It's money, man. There's not enough money in real food right now. And the big corporations, the conglomerates, they own all these manufacturing companies, but they also own and have major ties into the major media to put the stories out there to make it seem as if fake food is actually food, but yeah. It's not.
Mike, do you still shop at the supermarket, or do you have other ways of getting your food in, man?
We use quite a bit. So we're fortunate that our local butcher put us in touch with a hunter's co-op.
Yep.
These hunters that they get, you know, tags, and they legally hunt wild game of different variety, you know, elk or you know, deer and muley and different things like that. So we're able to get a few hundred pounds of wild caught meat per year through hunters. I, unfortunately, or not, have never hunted. I've never pulled the trigger. I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
I think I should if I'm eating meat. I think morally I should take at least that responsibility to go through that. That's a whole nother probably conversation. But we also go to like Whole Foods to get some items. We go to Sprouts locally, and these are, you know, most people know Whole Foods. Sprouts is like a similar version, but smaller footprint, okay. More mom and pop, but it's corporate. We go to like the local market, like most people would go to, and that have what I call the hippie section, which is like two aisles of organic foods, and most have organic produce, basic produce. I live in Vegas, so it's a little more difficult, but we do get it done. We go to the farmers markets. There's four around the city that usually we go to at least two per month and try and stock up as much as we can. And then we grow on our own property. We grow dates and pomegranate and peaches. We have an almond bush, but it's not very fruitful, maybe a handful a year. So I think I messed that up. And then we have like herbs, you know, cilantro and basil and thyme. And we're trying to do blueberries this year. You know, so we try and live it to the best that we can based upon our geographic availability. You know, I live in Death Valley, and we're pretty happy with what we've had so far on our own land.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we shop around. Amazon also, I got to say, this is a huge one for your listeners.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just get most of your dry goods, your chia seeds, your hemp seeds, your quinoa, your oats, even your oils off of Amazon. You get it in bulk, delivered to your house for free. You don't have to get in the car to drive to the grocery store half hour to 3 hours to get that shit done. You don't have to spend the money on gas. It's getting delivered to your house at your convenience, and it's a fraction of the cost that you pay at retail stores.
Wow.
Mike, you're wearing a Mursad Bektik shirt. He's one of the best fighters in the planet. He's a young kid, and it makes me think about – I mean, he looked great in his last fight, and, you know, for whatever reason, things happened in that octagon. But if you had to compartmentalize the weight cut aspect of having a guy like Bektik and – what is, for you as the coach, what is the most stressful part of that? Is it the process, maybe the day or so leading up, or is it after, like getting him like ready to fight or even refueling him? For you as the mindset of the coach, what is the most stressful part of that?
It depends on the athlete, so it's very individualized. With Mursad, I don't have a lot of worry about Mursad. He does exactly what he agrees to do. And I don't want to say he does what he's told, because the way my system works, we work like a corporation. I'm a department head in Mursad Bektik Inc. essentially. So we come up with strategies. We agree on strategies. Of course, we source what the strategies are and the reasons why and the desired expectation or result, you know, just like you would in a board meeting. And then we move forward with the protocol. I don't have to worry about Mursad eating 4 ounces of chicken at 11 a.m. next Thursday. I know 100% with 100% certainty that he will. So that removes a lot of that anxiety I might get with another athlete. You could think of other athletes maybe I've been associated with that don't have the best reputation for compliance, off-season compliance in a lot of different things. You know, some athletes just chronically drop their left hand when they throw a right hook. You can say the same thing about nutrition. There's some errors that are made. That creates more of a challenge come fight week. And in fight week, everything is mostly in the control of myself and my team that's on site. We do run into some problems with some athletes like to overwork, or their coaches like to overwork during fight week. And that becomes a difficult situation because everyone has their own agenda from a department head perspective. Yeah. My agenda is delivering the healthiest athlete possible into competition and getting them through the weigh-ins with zero damage, keeping them healthy all the way through. Some skills coaches, they just want to make sure they're sharp. They're on point. They go over that last technique. And I try and explain to them that we're literally landing the Apollo 13 mission in order for a 180-pound athlete like Mirsad Bektik to weigh in at 145 pounds, we have to be pinpoint precise with what we call medical nutrition therapy. That's the practice that my team uses when we work with weight class dominated athletes and any combat athlete, and really most athletes that have any sort of over excitement of their biology due to competition. Lots of things can go wrong. So we adhere to medical nutrition therapy, and part of that protocol is we're trying to eliminate as much unnecessary expenditure as possible because the calories are dropping. You can't eat 4,000 calories per day like you did at week 10 on, you know, 3 days before weigh-ins. We need to start dropping that. But we only want to drop to the lowest necessary point to sustain all vital health.
It makes sense. Yeah. It's really been awesome to watch. I've been watching MMA, UFC since the mid-90s. And as the sport is evolving, it's getting more professional in the areas such as, you know, nutrition, weight cut. Do you feel that as it's evolving and the fighters are getting better and science is getting better, it's making your job a little easier to have fighters buy into that? And you know, to think back maybe 10 years ago, you're preaching, you know, you're telling them the system. Maybe they weren't as business-like as a fighter. Maybe they're a little bit more primal. Let me just get in there and scrap. Now it seems like these guys are carrying themselves to such a higher standard. Has that been easier or tougher for you to get through to these guys?
The athletes that reach out to us, it's very easy. They reach out to us because of our reputation. They've spoken with someone who has worked with us directly. So they're bought in 100%. It's difficult sometimes for our message to get out when there's so much misinformation being put into the industry. And the misinformation is the easiest. I mean, just put on a plastic sauna suit, get in the sauna, and just tough it out. Yeah. Drop 15, 20 pounds in a day.
Do you hear about the kid in the Scottish Muay Thai fighter? Just happened in
over
in
Thailand.
Yeah. And that's what he was doing, right? I think he was just wearing an old school suit.
From what I read, and you never know exactly what's true, he had a plastic suit on and a sweatsuit, and he's running through the city in Thailand, which is probably, I'm assuming, hot.
You don't need
a plastic suit. And he's exerting himself. I don't know why. If he just put the suit on and laid in the sun, he'd sweat as much or more than if he was exerting himself. And this is what we talk about medical nutrition therapy.
Yeah.
These athletes, they don't get the guidance. What they do is they get some dude who hands him a bag full of boiled chicken and a little cup of almonds, and that's all they have to eat. And they're wearing plastics, and they're working out in the sauna like they're in a Rocky film.
It's like Vision Quest.
It is. Yeah. That was in the 80s. This is 2017. You know, the science is here. This science is 20, 30 years old at least, if you really want to dig down to what my team does. I'm speechless sometimes when I see what these elite athletes, these multimillionaire athletes are doing in the sake of what they think they should be doing. And they're dramatically hurting longevity. They're reducing their ability to live long, healthy, vital lives due to a myriad of dysfunction that they're creating. But also, the odds of them competing near their full potential is gone.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is. You go through a bad weight cut, you're not 100%. You're lucky if you're 60 to 80.
Yeah. Wow. Mike, is that why you put
them? They waste that.
Yeah. Is that why you put them in the jacuzzi instead of the sauna?
That's one of the reasons. So what we do, we look for the least invasive ways to lose weight as possible. The majority of our weight is lost through nutrition.
Yeah.
We feed our athletes to the scale. We can get our athletes' body to start giving up weight in certain areas at certain times during the process through playing with their carbohydrate intake, the type of carbohydrates that they're consuming, their protein to fat to carbohydrate ratio, the amount of fiber. We can look at the electrolytes, which we certainly do. So, apologies, phones are blowing up. Yeah. We take the electrolytes. We help manipulate the electrolytes. So the body starts releasing weight. We pay attention to the digestive system. What's happening in the digestive system? How fast and simply and efficiently are they eliminating their food? Are they absorbing their food? Are they absorbing the vital nutrients? I don't want to get overly long-winded, but we maximize micronutrition intake while minimizing total caloric intake and then spread through some of the macronutrient categories. We keep that well balanced. So most of the weight comes off shit, by worth, you know, 2-3 weeks out.
Yeah.
And then 10 days out, it just comes down to manipulating electrolytes so the body holds and releases fluids in a predictable manner, because the athlete might be 15 pounds heavier at a certain point during the day. And then they wake up the next day 16, 17 pounds lighter than they peaked at the day before while perfectly healthy. And we're not talking about, you know, hyponatremia or like super, super hydrating, you know, consumption. Just working with the body, working with biology. And again, most of the athletes, they don't grasp it. They're not experienced in it. They're not researched in it. They don't have an understanding of what's possible, what the human body is actually meant to do safely. Again, they don't understand what medical nutrition therapy is. It's keeping the body healthy during these times of stress. And you think about all the stress and the hormonal response to the stress that these athletes are subjected to. Win the fight or don't pay the mortgage and the wife is screaming at you and your last fight on your contract, or it's the big title shot at the next one. All this crazy shit's going on. Yeah. Your brother's cousin's girlfriend from high school blowing up your phone because she wants tickets.
Yeah.
Just such stress that goes into this. And every one of those issues will be shown on the scale and it'll be shown in performance. So what my team does, we're aware of all that. And we try and block a lot of that shit or set up protocols to alleviate that from the athletes. The athlete only focuses on being in that zen performance state as they go through the scale and they can.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Yeah, Mike, so we talked about the athlete and the time period and your system being super efficient. Results speak for themselves in terms of them cutting the weight. Do you have a system that, and pardon my, for me not knowing if you do, but do you have a system for the general pop? All my clients, you know, are office workers, mothers, that sort of thing. So if I have a client and maybe she's in her early 40s and she wants to lose 10 kilos, never played a sport, and I'm just teaching her, you know, resistance training and taking her through for that first initial process, do you have a timeline of a healthy amount of time to lose that weight? Or, you know, for the general pop, is there a healthy or is there an unhealthy in terms of
absolutely
like keeping it off?
So we have two basic systems. The first of which I mentioned at the start of the show is our online membership program at thedolcediet.com. If anyone's interested, that will take this individual, built exactly for this individual, using the science that we use for any elite or Olympic athlete. It's the same science delivered in a manner that's much easier to use for the regular person. What we call the everyday athlete, the moms and the weekend warriors and the guys in the cubicle and the barista, the construction worker, the college kid, they're not fighting for world titles or stepping on the Olympic podium, but their goals and their health and fitness is just as important and shouldn't be subject to bad information. So the online program gives exactly that. She puts in, she's 42 years old, she's an office worker, she's on her feet X amount of hours per day. She has this background of exercise for this time at this basic intensity. And this is what all of her goals are. That builds an algorithm that falls into our system, our science. Yep. So that algorithm is then applied to what her personalized meal plan would be. And she gets that built out completely for her in her own membership site. So that's all there for everybody. We also have what we call the My Diet program, where anybody can work directly with one of our registered dietitians. And we have, you know, hundreds to thousands of people a year who come through our office and do just that. They work one-on-one with a registered dietitian. They get personalized meal planning and lifestyle management, the access to ask questions at any time, but built specifically for them regardless. They, you know, thyroid issues, pre-diabetic, PCOS, digestive issues, wants to be a world champion fighter. You have to work with a registered dietitian to get that information. We have that available, but that's part of our certification program also. So the coaches, you as a coach, well, you have that client, you come back to us, we work as an extension of you. So now the dietitian writes the programs for your client and you administer the education of the program to your client. That's where the coaches get paid, and that's where, you know, some money trickles back into the company. But the client gets the benefit of having you hands-on. You see her every day or every other day in the gym, what have you. And then you have the support of a registered dietitian programming the perfect meal plan, answering every question, and being that support module for you and for your client.
And if she were to tell you, though, that she'd say, Mike, I want to lose 20 pounds in a month, you know, maybe because she's seen you do it with your fighters, what would you tell her? Would you say that's not the healthy, practical way, even though you could do that for her? What would that be like, dealing with a scenario specific like that?
Depending on where she's starting, that could be the healthiest possible way. If she's smoking every night and drinking sodas or having McDonald's for breakfast and eating a pizza and some ice cream before bed, she's not exercising at all, and all of a sudden we say, hey, you're going to start walking for 30 minutes every morning. You're going to have this smoothie. You're going to drink this much water, and all the toxins are off limits. That lady, if she was, depending on what her body fat percentage was and how far above her norm, her healthy norm, she would be, she could lose that 20 pounds or more in that four-week period of time. We've seen many people lose in excess of that, just getting them back to healthy again.
Yeah. Mike, can we talk about your own personal transformation? Because if people Google you right now, they see a jacked nutrition guy that helps everyone from around the world. But, you know, you used to be a powerlifter. What were you, like 280 pounds or something?
282, I peaked out at. Yeah. 282 pounds at 5'10".
Yeah, so can you talk about the mindset of actually having to transform yourself? And then I think what I really love about your work is that you practice what you preach. So I'd love to hear.
I appreciate
that. Yeah, I'd love to hear your kind of insights into that, man.
So in my early mid-20s, my amateur wrestling career had ended. I wanted to still compete, and I moved into competitive powerlifting. I powerlifted to cross-train for wrestling, so it just made sense. I enjoyed it, and I competed as a powerlifter from the 181-pound weight class to 198 to 220 to 242, and eventually as a heavyweight or even super heavyweight at 275, where I did cap out at 282 pounds at that point.
Wow.
Now, what it allowed me to do was have goals, bigger numbers on the bar and all that stuff, compete, set dates and deadlines. And I confused that at that time, that you know, narcissistic time of life, in thinking, well, I'm an athlete, I'm big and I'm strong and look at what I can do, while not paying attention to what was happening to me on the inside. I wasn't healthy. I was athletic, and I was performing in a very niche, you know, group with a very niche group of people, but I was not healthy at all. So in my, you know, around that time, healthcare, doctor's appointment, whatever, monthly, yearly checkup, I mean, go to the doctor, heart rate, blood test, all this stuff. She says, Mike, you know, you have the health of a 55-year-old sick man. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm, you know, see what I squatted last night?
Yeah.
And we start going through my blood pressure and my cholesterol and the HDL, LDL, and, you know, I have sleep apnea, and I'm just like, I'm listening to it. I'm sweating all the time. You know, I used to wear like a button-up shirt. I worked in finance at that time. I wear a button-up shirt, and I would have to always bring a second shirt. Midday, I'd have to change shirts because I'd sweat through the other gross one.
Wow.
So that's what I was living, only performance oriented. It was a weight class dominated sport also, different attribute, different parameters. But I was only focused on performance. And that's when I realized performance means absolutely nothing without health. And I immediately changed the concept of my own paradigm, the way I looked at health, fitness, performance, everything. And it became only longevity driven. And I determined that if it made sense in the long run, it would make immediate sense right now. So let's start making those decisions that we should be making for the 80-year-old, 100-year-old, 120-year-old version of ourselves. Once we started focusing on that, we really started focusing on cellular health and micronutrition and just how the biology of the human body actually is supposed to work, not just the muscular system and skeletal system. That was ancillary. We already had a lot of that information. So now we really start focus on nutrition integrity and quality of nutrition, and then more of the lifestyle, the ancillaries, rest, recuperation, stress management, which is massive. And, you know, we understood periodization and such from the exercise side.
We recently were chatting with the legendary Frank Zane, and I asked him a question. Such a cool dude, man. Like, I love finding inspiration in the guys like Frank who've been doing it for so long. Like you said, longevity. And so I asked him a question about, Frank, what keeps allowing you to continue to evolve, you know, later in your years when a lot of your competitors maybe, you know, aren't so, you know, at 74, he's still teaching, still coaching, still has a brand. And he, and he said his point of difference has always been recovery. He's been doing meditation and getting into the float tank since the 70s. So in regards to where you are in your life and how you keep evolving and doubling down, what do you feel in comparison to, you know, your competitors per se in your industry, your point of difference is to keep Mike Dolce's brand where it is?
I think we have our point of differentiation. This is a great question, is in the foundation of our brand. And our brand has spawned multiple companies and multiple outlets, products and services, multiple ways to reach the public. Most of our competitors don't have that. They only do one specific thing. If it's, you know, weight management, let's say, or they're trying to work with professional athletes, that's pretty much all they do. And they don't do it as well as we do, as we're the only company to have a 100% success ratio weighing in athletes at the highest level, but at any level. We've never had an athlete miss. From rank amateur, first-time fight ever you've never heard of, to multi-time world champions. We also have Olympic medalists who are in our stable and continue to be inside of our stable. These other teams, they don't have that. So points of differentiation. We've developed a evidence-based, critically reviewed curriculum that is the foundation of our system that is endorsed by the National Strength and Conditioning Association, National Academy of Sports Medicine, and the American Fitness and Athletic Association, three of the largest certifying health and fitness bodies in the United States, if not in the world. No other system has that. We have a team of registered, credentialed, licensed professionals that are legally empowered to operate in the capacities in which we promote them. No other company that I'm aware of has that also. We have a team of scientists who build every program that we work on. It's not just me. I'm certainly the face of the brand, but I have an amazing support team. Everything that we put out in the market is 100% vetted. Nobody has that. And then we have our content distribution. We have four number one best-selling books. We have a highly ranked podcast that jumps on and off the charts whenever we
post. Glad you picked that up again, man, because we were looking at it. We're like, you went for a period of not releasing anything.
Yeah,
and for me, it's time. There's so many things that we're focused on. The launch of that website, it had to be perfect. The science of that website, and this is the only site like it, our membership site. The only site like it has the type of algorithm built in that we have to offer a specific personalized program for each person. Every other site out there is a template. If you weigh within 10 persons of 10 pounds of the next, you know, the person next to you, you're getting the same damn meal plan. Ours is completely different for every human who goes into it because it's personalized exactly to what your age is, what your height, what your weight, what your gender, what your activity, what your goals are. We have six different goals that change the coefficient that we've painstakingly created. It took a year and a half to put this science together. So nobody has, again, that these layers of expertise. And I think the last piece is our goal is to serve and to help people. You don't see me standing in Instagram selfies with all the high-level people I work with on a daily basis. And that's how I judge most of the people in the fitness world.
Yeah, man.
They're just trying to promote the fuck out of themselves. That's their goal. That's not my goal. My goal is to help change people's lives. We have the products, the services, the team, the IP, and now it's just getting the distribution and the reach to get out there and do that. And we do that. We're mom and pop. You know, we're slow and steady. It's our reputation is why you guys are talking to us right now. We've never spent a dollar on media or ad spends, things like that. You're talking to us because of our results.
Exactly right. Mike, with research and, you know, education continuously evolving, can we just get some insights in how you continue to self-develop?
I do a lot of the testing and the experimentation on myself. You know, we went through the squats and steak program. I had to live that for a year, and that wasn't exactly what I wanted to do, but I did. And that was how to add 20 pounds of lean muscle and 200 pounds to your back squat in a 12-week period of time. Wow. And it took me three 12-week cycles with a deload in between to really perfect that. Man, that was fucking...
That sounds tough.
I was battling that fucking barbell longer than I should have. And I knew from a volume perspective, it was too much volume. So I really had to pay attention to the rest of the recuperation and back off so I could do proper justice to the program itself.
Yeah.
because I didn't want to change that variable. Now I'm not recovered, so it doesn't mean the program's bad. I'm simply too, I'm in overreaching syndrome. I can't adequately recover for, you know, the different pieces. So we do that. That's what I do. And that's based upon science. So we have a research team here that is constantly up to date on the latest, you know, scientific reviews and reports and hypothesis. And a lot of that stuff that seems compelling, that's been verified or vetted, that makes sense with our own internal intellectual properties, we say, you know what? That might work. Yeah. Because we're already doing this here and we've seen something. That's the bridge to the next point. So we use a lot of that science to help us build bridges to the next point. In many ways, though, we are on the cresting wave. I've used this before. We're at the cutting edge of science. And some of the things that we've done 5 years or so ago, science is just maybe switching on to right now, because we're constantly working with the world's greatest athletes, competing at the world's highest level,
yep.
Whether it's the NFL, whether it's MLB, whether it's the UFC, whether it's endurance training, you know, marathon running, whether it's extreme speed cycling, Kieran events and things like that at the Olympic level. We're dealing with those athletes. We see their blood work.
Yeah.
We know what their training volume, what their intensity is. We know what their PRs have been over the last 6 years, some of them. Well, I know their bowel movements. I know when their wife says he's just a horror to be around the last 2 days. I don't know why. We have all that data also that we overlay onto these hypotheses that we have. And I love talking about this shit.
Yeah.
That's what we do here.
So you do that blood work. Because, you know, because we're good friends with Joe DeFranco. And he done, I'm not sure if you know, he done all that blood work stuff and he figured out what was wrong with him and he got in the best shape of his life at 40. So I didn't realize that you guys did all that blood work stuff as well. How have you found that sort of, that area of research?
It's data. We're a data company, data driven. We said early on, you should never take a supplement until you've had your blood work done.
Yeah.
How do you know what you need?
Yeah.
How do you know where your deficiencies are? How do you know what your imbalances are? Why are you going to go out and buy some stupid supplement for 50 or 80 bucks? Dude, just send me a check.
Yeah.
I'll take that, because it's not going to work for you most likely anyway, because it's not filling the void that you currently have. Most people skip that. So blood work has been vitally critical for us, although we can estimate people's health to a large degree, not perfectly, based upon what their lifestyle is like.
Yeah.
So we can, you know, create a caricature essentially of, well, what do you eat consistently? We go back from, well, what did you eat today? And what about yesterday and last dinner? And what was the last time you went out with your wife? What was the last time you ate out? And we create this graph of the person, and then we can find these consistencies, what they eat a lot of and what they never, it just never shows up on their menu. So we can say, oh, fuck, well, they're likely iron deficient. Completely, she taking way too many saturated fats or trans fats. So we can see that. And then based upon that information, we can hypothesize they might have some sort of time bomb, you know, cardiac issue or blood sugar issue. And we're always, every client we work with, like, you have blood work, recent blood work, 3 months, 6 months, a year, send what you have, call your doctor.
Yep.
Call your doctor, set up blood work. Like, please. And then we push. People are so fucking happy when they do, and it takes, you know, a minute. It's so fast to get done. It takes 5 minutes. It's like standing in line at a Starbucks. Get that done every 3 to 6 months.
Yeah. All right, Mike, I'm going to be a little bit selfish with this next question. All of your resume speaks for itself, but the thing that I'm really inspired by is your brand and how you've been able to, with your branding, the behind-the-scenes steps that you've been able to take. If you were to give me any advice or any, you know, young entrepreneurs or old entrepreneurs, people starting businesses and brands from scratch, what advice would you give me into them into starting it and building it?
I'm going to give you the gold right now.
Yes.
I love that you just lean forward too. So I do.
You got to be listening.
An entire hour on this topic.
Yeah, man.
I love this stuff.
During our certification course, and I've boiled it down concisely. So it's called the 5 R's. This is all you need to focus on. The first one is research. You need to know your topic. I don't care what it is, whether it's nutrition and exercise, whether it's gaming, whatever widget you're creating, you're trying to sell, You need to know every fucking thing about that, everything that's right, everything that's wrong, every perspective inside and out, every area of distribution, the origin back to day one. What's the history? What's the story? Yep. And what's the trends, where it's going? Research. You need to know everything. So when someone asks you about it, you can answer with confidence and so much confidence that you fucking own that topic and you become the leader of that industry to that person that you're in front of. Whether it's the old lady at the grocery checkout line or whether it's 10,000 people listening to you speak in at Giant Stadium, doesn't matter. Same thing. With the research comes results. I know what the fuck I'm talking about. Therefore, I can replicate results on any client I work with, no matter of what their issue is. Doesn't matter if they're 120 years old and, you know, and they can barely stand up, or if they're 25 years old wanting to fight in the UFC, whether they're growing up in a third world country, living on, you know, poor food, or they're living in fucking Westland, Oregon, yeah, having access to Whole Foods every single day, you know, doesn't matter. We replicate results. So research, replicatable results. With those replicatable results comes reputation. People start to talk about you. They started to talk about me. Nobody knew who the fuck I was in 2004 or yeah, 5 or 6 or 7, except for those people that I was working with, and the word of mouth was constantly spreading. The Randy Couture's, the Dan Hendersons, the Chris Lieben, the Chael Sonnens. I was working with those guys before The Ultimate Fighter 1. I was out there. Nobody knew shit about it, but I was building my – I was there because of the results I was able to create. And then with those results came the reputation. I had built the reputation. Now I'm in that crew, hired by Rampage, then Belfort, Alba, all these other elite athletes, because the reputation for the results based upon the research was all unified. With the results came the reputation, of course. And then from the reputation came the resume. Yeah. Think about the athletes that we've worked with.
Yeah,
I work with anybody I want in professional athletics or high level. Those, you know, 7-figure, 8-figure, 9-figure individuals I can work with whenever I want to, because they know, well, that motherfucker, I get it done.
Yeah, they were all champions.
You know?
Yeah.
World champions. I mean, and I don't say that to brag. I say it because it's fucking true. Like, there's certain people, you know, they know their fucking job and they get it done. And you look at their history. You might not like them or their politics or their shaved head. That's fine. But I get the fucking job done. You want the job done, this type of job, I get it done. My team gets it done. And we've got it done 100% of the time. Never once in over a 20-year professional career in the spotlight to a degree, because we've been covered, you know, in local and whatnot. The last part is, so we have research. We have replicatable results. We have reputation. We have resume. Look at my resume. I have Hollywood stars. I have billionaires. I have elite athletes, Olympic athletes, CrossFit athletes. We've worked with intentionally every athlete essentially at that elite level on purpose. We choose not to continue because it's not cost effective for the business. We're much more focused on mass consumer, helping real people now have access to this. So again, research, replicatable results, reputation, resume. With that comes the rewards. That comes at the very end. Now, if you flip that and put the rewards first, you'll fucking never get that. You'll get the reputation for being a money-hungry douchebag that doesn't really know what the fuck he's talking about. And that differentiates us, to your prior question, most of the people in the industry, they all, in short period of time, they all get found out.
Yeah.
Spotlight comes on. Oh, no, you can't actually do what Dolce does. Nope. Your theory actually isn't as good or better than Dolce's because your athletes keep failing. That's in all aspects. So research, results, reputation, resume, rewards. With the rewards come the spoils, man. Yeah. I can do whatever the fuck I want. And I say that
that's awesome.
Proudly. Yeah, but yeah. I don't have to work if I don't want to. I can work with whoever the hell I want to. I can sit here in my gym all day long and not work for a dollar and I'm fine. It's all taken care of.
Yeah.
And that's where we all want to get to. Now let's rewind. In 2005, brand new married man, lived in a one-bedroom apartment, eating on a $10 plastic picnic table from Walmart with my wife, and we could only afford crackers and cheese as like our date night dinner. Yeah. And we did that for 6 months. I drove a 1992 Buick Regal from 2006 until 2012.
Wow.
But it's about those sacrifices.
Yeah, man.
It's really about those sacrifices.
Yeah. The Regal breaks down, too. We used to have to fill the car, fill it up with water. We had it had a hole in the... I'm not a car guy, but anyway, I had a Regal.
Okay, so you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So we're here because we were grinding through the other R's to get to the reward side.
Yeah.
I was building my reputation. I was enhancing my resume. We were always producing results.
Yeah.
And then finally, the reward came. This shit doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
I opened this in 1997, officially as a legal entity paying taxes to the government. And 93, I was a kid in high school dabbling in it as the varsity captain of my wrestling team, freshman year, four-time varsity member, captain of my wrestling team. I was actively doing this, running weight cuts and strength and conditioning. I was the fittest guy on the team. I was naturally locked into it and, you know, all that shit. So it was like really started there, 93. You guys never heard of me until like maybe if you're a hardcore fan, 06 when I cornered Eddie Herman, the Ultimate Fighter finale. Yeah. That was season three. I was, you know, Eddie's corner in that one. But I really popped in the like 2010 or so era.
Yeah. For all your success, Mike, we all know that behind all success is usually a good team. We like to pay tribute to Inner Circles here on the Vision Board Podcast, man. Can we pay tribute to your Inner Circle and some of the things that they do for you, man?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we've had a pretty powerful team. My wife and I are the ones that started this. Mm. So my wife, Brandy, she has her master's degree in communication with a heavy emphasis in journalism. She worked for MTV out of college. She then produced a private radio show. This is all on the East Coast.
Wow.
And then she worked in print publishing in the newspaper. So she was actually a featured columnist for the largest newspaper in New Jersey. And she had above the byline full photo of herself. So she was kind of capped out at the end of her growth. She was done, which was awesome. So we started this and we started creating content, and Brandy left the newspaper industry and really started running the content side of the brand.
Yeah.
So my co-author in the books, I'm walking around drinking coffee, talking out loud, and she's transcribing a lot of that information. Yes. And then we sat down. This is how we did it.
Yeah.
And then we would sit down after we had the whole transcription of my insanity, like I'm talking to you guys right now.
Yeah.
Really. You know, just flowing, getting all this content down on paper before like Siri and dictation machines and shit. So get all this down. And then we would sit down, like give ourselves a week. And, you know, then we'd sit down with clear minds and we would read through. We got to change that. What the fuck was I talking about there? Holy shit. That's going to add another chapter or page on that topic. So then we put it more in the book forms. And she was the one who does that with all the books for us. Also, the web stuff that she's done. So Brandy kind of started. Now, my brother, Bob, he actually runs our client relations, which extends either business to business in many capacities or business to consumer. So it's very important for me to have a family member who cares as much about the Dolce brand as another Dolce speaking for the brand. So most of the time when anybody has a complaint, a problem, a deal, an insight, it all comes through Bob, and Bob really handles that and makes sure everybody's well taken care of. And, you know, I and Brandy and whoever is a part of that also. So we have a legal counsel who's been with us since the very beginning. And I don't think it matters what the name is. And he knows, and he likes to kind of stay behind the scenes. So he's been integral to our position as a corporation and our position as being established as a global entity with global areas of reach and global areas to monetize. So getting ourselves set up as a Nevada-based corporation that also has extensions in different parts around the globe because we serve certain markets. We've been number one as far as our books in Germany. We've been number one in Australia multiple times, number one over in the UK.
Yeah.
So we do have this high level of interest, and our podcast gets probably like yours. We have wide reach also through the podcast audience. And then we have, you know, our supporting staff. So our research scientist is a gentleman named Karsten. Karsten is out of Holland. He's Dutch. And I apologize to him. So we have a remote relationship where he brings us a ton of – and he is a research scientist by trade. This is what he does. And so he brings us a ton of research in certain areas that we're working on at that time. He gives us the most compelling – what we call a black and white information. So he gives us as much information to support what we're saying and as much and more information, if possible, to deny what we're saying, to give us the other looks. So that allows our team to really sit and determine, are we right? How do we have to conduct this test? Because we're not sold on any specific information of a bias. We only want to put out productive content that will elicit change. That's our reputation. Not putting out a lot of cool content that's fun to talk about, putting out content that will change your life with high percentage of success. So we really battle around that stuff. Our team of dietitians, we have quite large. We had Nicole, Samantha, Meg, who Meg is operating now as our lead dietitian, who's amazing. She's helping to teach our certification courses. We have Monica and then Karen, who are both locally. So we have a large team of dietitians with different specialties, and they filled specific roles. So Samantha had her master's degree in exercise physiology, and she was integral to the creation of our certification program.
Yeah, she's on the podcast, really had, right?
I'm sorry?
She's on the podcast a lot, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah. Yep,
Meg has not yet, but Nicole has been. Samantha has been. We'll get Meg on here soon, you know, because it's, you know, topical, but they're pretty busy with what they do in their own rights.
Yeah.
And they've all contributed, which is awesome.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that insight. Yeah, you're like the CEO of a huge corporation, man. That's excellent.
We've been bigger. You know, we've been bigger. So we're doing, we were up to 9 full-time employees at one point. We all offer a 401k with a 4% company match. Wow. We all offer company health care. Like, this is what we do. A lot of people don't know that. This is what we do.
They're always just like the Dolce diet. And that, man, and that's the beautiful part about what we get to do and you coming on the show and sharing these insights is that for some reason, I don't know if it's a human instinct, but to see success or see somebody doing great things, that's all we know. We just know them at that moment. But the path and the journey and all the integral parts that go into you and your brand, it's very impressive, man.
I appreciate that. And so if you kind of look at the MMA forums, you would think that it's funny to read that because MMA is less than 1% of what we do as a corporation.
Yeah.
I love it, and I have great friendships with a lot of these athletes, and we're in MMA not because it makes us money. We're in MMA because we care about helping some of these humans live long, healthy lives and hopefully sustain their career. That's why we're really in MMA now. It's not a revenue generator for anybody in the industry, especially on the coaching side. MMA coaches are fucking poor.
Yeah.
It's very rare that any MMA coach can actually make a lower middle class living only coaching MMA. And I know all the top coaches. I'm telling you, that's 100% fact. The best coach in the world has to have a side business in order to pay his mortgage and feed his family. So MMA is just a passion. And it's a way that we want to give back because the industry did help give us our launch to exposure by being involved with the Randy Couture and the Dan Henderson, the Matt Lindland, the Chael Sonnen, the early stage, you know, when Team Quest and Miletic were the only super camps in the game.
Yeah.
I was the head strength coach of Team Quest at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about, you know, being
Killers.
Legit.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, most people don't even know who the fuck they were back in 2003, 2004. They don't understand that. They don't know what pancreas was.
And you know what, man? And those guys are still fighting. Chael's about to fight. Hendo just fought recently. These got longevity, which you keep talking about, man. It's results speak for themselves.
It's there. And it's, you know, for me, what a blessing so early in my career to be surrounded by Randy, Chael, Hendo,
famous,
and Linlin. We're all Olympians.
Yeah.
I mean, so just imagine what was happening in that room. Who has exposure to that?
Yeah.
And then the way my brain works, really more on the science side, the biological side, I'm watching that. Wow. I was never a great athlete. I knew I never was, but I would work hard. I was always a hard worker, so I could always be in the room with those guys and help give those guys around and push them, you know, where the way I could. But I was always there as a strength coach more so than anything else.
Yeah.
So the experience of being immersed in that, because I was there for 5 years, and then from there went to with Rampage for a year. Because probably Rampage Jackson, truly.
He's fighting again.
He's fighting again, too.
Fighting, which is insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's probably the greatest natural athlete I ever worked with.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get the credit for that, but I've seen all the best athletes in the world.
Wow.
Rampage is the greatest natural athlete I've ever had the honor of working with.
That's a huge compliment.
Yeah, it's huge. He's a Hall of Famer.
All right, Mike, we're going to...
Sure.
We're going to hit the personality part of the show. Johnny's got the first question.
Yeah, we've got a couple questions left before we let you go. The first one, Mike, we hear a lot about good days. A lot of our listeners at home, we use this platform for advice. So could you share some advice and insight on when you're having a bad day, something that works for you to overcome these things?
I don't have bad days. It's not even, and that's not bullshit. I don't have bad days. Bad shit happens, but it doesn't affect my day. I wake up every day. I have a very clear goal set in front of me. You can probably tell a lot by my brain. So I wake up. I set five goals for myself: fitness, family, finance, future for me. Five things that I will accomplish before I go to bed that day. Period. The fucking end. So I wake up with purpose every day. I have purpose, and this is between 4 and 5 a.m. when most of the world is still sleeping. By the time I get to 9 a.m., most of those goals have already been crushed. Yeah. How awesome is my day at that point? Now, that's 5 goals a day, 7 days a week. That's 35 goals per week I set and I fucking crush. How many people listening have set and achieved 35 goals in their entire life? Well, what does that do? That gives me momentum. That gives me habit. That allows me to deal with almost any other situation I come across. And I can fucking crush it. So, bad day, transmission on my truck, fucking tree falls on my porch. I don't give a fuck. I call, I get that shit done, and I just roll through and stay positive. Shit's going to happen. I expect everything to go sideways. I'm ready for it. And that needs to be the mentality, because otherwise it's being emotional. Mm. Why are we being emotional for that stuff?
Yeah, for sure. Mike, I love your turkey chili recipe, man. For everyone out there, can you just give us a quick little plug? And I'm sure everyone's going to buy the book after this as well.
So we've played, and part of our system, and that comes from the Living Lean Cookbook. Yeah. Part of our system is deconstructing recipes that people love, but making sure they fit micronutrient profiles. The micronutrition is much more important than the macros, the protein, the fat, the carbs, and then the total calories. So we've developed these micronutrient-dense recipes that are fucking delicious. Like, we have our turkey chili, which can be a vegan chili, more bean-oriented. Yeah. We can have, you know, the wild, you know, game chili, which can be venison, which is really good for those who hunt, or elk or bison, or moose, you know, chopped moose. Again, one of our friends hooked us up with that. Yeah. So it's just a very, you know, nutrient dense, delicious chili. I'll put that chili up against any Southwestern cook-off any day of the week. Good. And most people will choose ours. Now, here's what's cool. They won't feel like shit after they eat ours. They'll feel like they can go for a 5 mile run.
That's it, man. Want to wrap it up with the last question
there? Yeah,
man.
Let's do it. So Mike Dolce, finish the show off. You've been great. It's a dinner party, private dinner party. You get 5 guests. They can't be any friends or family, though, but they could be anyone dead or alive. Which 5 people is Mike Dolce inviting to dinner?
Nikola Tesla is definitely the first at my table. I'd love to talk to that guy. 5 people. I'd say Trump. We got to put him at the table now because
leader of the free world.
What's that?
Leader of the free world. Got to talk to him.
Leader of the free world, man. Yep. He's in the position. I want to know if aliens exist, man. He's got the documents now.
Uh-oh. Should we go conspiracy? The Alex Jones episode.
Yeah, right?
I love that.
I think Louis Simmons from West Side Barbell. Oh, yeah. I think he's one of the greatest minds in strength today.
Hell yeah.
That's 3. So where are we putting 4? Nobody's jumping out right now. World history leaders. Maybe put Tony Robbins at the table. Respect what he does.
Yep.
I'd like to understand a little bit more about human emotion. I know he really specializes in that now. And we have the scientist. We have the politician. We have the strength guy. We have the motivation guy. Buffett. Put Warren Buffett at the table and really focus on the finances and see, you know, the way his brain works. I think that'd be a fun, you know.
Powerful table.
Powerful table, espresso all the way around, you know, shot for shot. Let's go. Yep. Let's talk. Maybe a little THC in the mix. Who knows?
Attaboy. You know. Just lighten things up. No pun intended.
Get everybody talking.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys, everyone, get following Mike. He's online, www.thedolcediet.com. Twitter is on @TheDolceDiet, Instagram same, and Facebook. And remember to check out his podcast, The Mike Dolce Show. Mike, you've been brilliant, man. We really appreciate your time and sharing so much knowledge.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely, guys. I really appreciate it. This was fun. I'm a big fan of your show. Happy to be. I'm a part of your audience also. So I'm talking to the like-minded people, which is excellent. And yeah, really cool, guys. So thank you so much for thinking of me and having me on.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And just let us know when that book's out, man, because we're coming on part two. I've got another 1,000 questions to ask.
Yeah, we get to spoke for hours, man.
Hell yeah. Well, let's do it again. Let's make it regular. This was fun. I think a lot of good I love conversations like this because you guys can pull shit out of me that is so, like, it's just back in the file. Yeah. I don't often have the opportunity to talk about and explain it. So I love this stuff, man. Great, great questions. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mike. And have a great weekend, man. And we'll chat soon, buddy.
All right, fellas. You too. Thank you.
Thanks,
Mike.
Bye, guys.
Mike Dolce, my man.
Yeah, man. I'm glad that, dude, that last little bit, the five R's, dude, that's secret to success right there, man.
Oh, definitely. I'm really glad that, so I'm pretty sure it was you that asked that question, but the five R's just really, apart from that, just the principles he also has for the Dolce diet, I'm sure that we'll get into it a little bit more on Friday, but yeah, he's left me feeling just like inspired. I want to know more about nutrition, man.
Yeah, man. He's one of these guys. That same energy that the Joe D's of the world brings, that same energy that the Zach Evanishes bring to the world, Elliot Hulse, these guys are cut from the same cloth. Jersey guys, and it's like, you're not outworking me. You know, so if you're able to put, guys listening at home, if you're able to put the work in and align that with what your skills and your passions are, the rest of it is the, in my opinion, the work ethic. That's what I love to do. I'm a grinder. I'll put my hard hat on and outwork somebody. But it's aligning those other recipes and for him to share that and kind of just show some vulnerabilities too, talking about like where his path was driving that car. And, you know, Dolce is a guy that, you know, we could literally talk to for hours. So it was cool to sit down with him and, you know, we're going to bring him on for part two.
Yeah, for sure. Guys, just remember, Buddy Morris is coming on Wednesday. So stay tuned for the Godfather of Strength and Conditioning, the head strength and conditioning coach of the Arizona Cardinals in the NFL. Can't wait for that one, Johnny.
Yeah, Buddy Morris in the house, man. Western PA boy. Grew up right around the corner, so I'm going to be excited to share some insights on where we come from and him just, you know, inspire the hell out of you guys.
For sure. So, guys, if you enjoyed the episode, please share with your family and friends. Remember to please subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And also, please leave us a 5-star review.
Keep supporting it. We'll keep supporting you guys. Stay in touch. SoundCloud, iTunes, the Vision Board Podcast. Get involved.
Cool. I'll check you on Wednesday, guys.
All right, TK. Be good. Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.